Psalter. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, isn't it fitting and timely even to consider with you this biblical theme that Christian love does no harm to a neighbor? You will know as well as I that we live in times of increasing tension and trouble and violence even between peoples and races and cultures. It's really bad, actually, out there. Isn't it? Just yesterday I heard about a policeman in Saskatchewan, 26 years old, just run down and killed while he did a traffic stop. The fact is that while there are sometimes and too often lately extreme cases or examples of doing harm to another, even with chilling and killing violence, as happened last week in London, yet we know, sadly, there are also many lesser and more subtle ways where people can be dreadfully hurtful to others and injure their neighbor. It doesn't take much to harm one another, somehow, in some way. The motivation for this sermon now, however, is not any particular crime or mean thought, word, or deed of one person to another of late, but rather, the motivation is the powerful Christian testimony and message that we are called to give in word and deed as confessing believers and as covenant of grace, congregation of the Lord, both corporately and individually, also as Calgary FRC here in Calgary, Alberta, living in our 21st century world. What is our witness? Our main text for this sermon is Romans 13:8. There Paul declares in Christ's name as directed by God's Spirit to the believers in Rome and in all places at all times, love does no harm, no injury, no ill to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. In connection with this, we want to consider also Jesus' words to his disciples as we read them in John 13:34-35. There Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So the theme for this sermon is, in light of these verses, love does no harm to a neighbor. Something always to know, to show, and to promote. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, what should distinguish believing Christians and godly families is a keen awareness and a real evidence of loving care and regard for those around us. This should be the case without exception towards anyone at all. Is this what you and I know and show and promote at all times with all peoples in all situations? We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Yes, as Paul also states in Romans 13:8, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Christian love, certainly not. Well, to know this always, to know this, our first main point, let's first think back to Jesus' words in John 13. What does Jesus mean when he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another"? Jesus didn't mean with this, "Well, I'm giving you a new commandment, like a brand new one, the 11th commandment, you might say, adding to the 10 that God gave before in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. No, no. But Jesus here is simply underlining the summary of God's law is to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Already back in Leviticus 19:18, we read God declaring to the Israelites, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That's what it says there. Jesus' new commandment, then, in John 13, 34, is not new in the sense of brand new, but new in the sense of coming in a freshly presented new standard sort of way. And what's that new standard sort of way? Well, you are to love one another as I have loved you, says Jesus to his disciples. As I have loved you. That's the new standard, as it were. Greater love has no one, he says in John 15. This is my commandment to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So, congregation, Jesus' command about loving our neighbor is new in this sense, with that standard or that example given most climactically in his own laying down of his life to save sinners like us. We're not to love reenacting what he did, which was a once-for-all act, but in the same measure, in the same kind of way, we are to love our neighbor as ourself. And another way this commandment is new is that now we have the Holy Spirit poured out. Poured out so that all the saving, transforming power we need for you and me to really know God's love and to reflect it to others, we may receive by the Spirit in us and with us. All you and I need, never to harm our neighbor, we may get from God in us, with us, in and through Christ and by his Spirit and Word leading us and blessing us. Well, at this point, it may be helpful to give just a scripture exhortation of 1 John 4, 7 to 11, in line with what the elder of service also read this morning. There the Apostle John teaches and calls from all Christians, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, writes John, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In light of so much love shown to us, beloved, if God so loved us, writes John, we also ought to love one another. So, congregation, we see clearly what we are stating as our theme, Christian love does no harm to a neighbor. That is something always to know, surely, from all of Scripture. All of Scripture in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Cain in the Old Testament would do harm to his brother Abel, God forewarned him about the evil of so injuring another human being, even a close family member. God never approves of us ever unnecessarily hurting or harming our neighbor. Even in cases of necessary discipline or self-defense or with war, there must never be an attitude of vindictiveness and bitter desire somehow to harm or to injure or to knock off another in word or deed. While living in this sinful world surely does mean sometimes, most sadly, we may have to kill another even or hurt another badly to protect ourselves, yet it should never be with the mindset to act in a way of bringing the most harm possible, but actually the least harm possible and being out yet for the best possible, even in most stressful situations. So, for instance, fighting off a thief in the home doesn't mean just madly aiming to shoot him in the head or the heart, but rather bring him down with a bullet in other areas of the body that won't necessarily kill him, but yet stop him and bring him down, and then let the law of the land take over the repercussions of his crime. Well, I realize fully this could bring on all kinds of further questions and debates now, but let us simply just now focus on the godly principle and practice our texts are calling for. Love, meaning especially Christian love, when that is guiding and guarding us, such love does no harm to a neighbor. Is this something we all know? That's just so true and right. Strikingly, in the Romans passage, in the part of the letter to the Romans giving practical exhortations for living the Christian life, Paul is saying this is important. This is a part of the Christian life, doing no harm to a neighbor. And Paul was writing in a day when, in his society too, they were living in brutal, violent, and ungodly times. It's rather noteworthy too, yes, that right between the two passages we read in Romans, you have between Romans 12, 9 to 21 and Romans 13, 8 to 14, you have that section, yes, on how we are to relate to the ruling authorities, to those governing over us. While the emphasis on showing love to others is not mainly directed to our ruling authorities, yet it surely is intended by God through Paul to be relevant in relation also to the authorities of our day. We are not to harm them in any way. This past week I saw a video clip of the French President Emmanuel Macron brazenly slapped in the face by someone unhappy with him. You may have seen it too. We all have seen, haven't we, also people throwing eggs and tomatoes and stones and bottles to their political leaders. But congregation, that is surely always forbidden us by God. Even madly shouting at our political leaders and labeling them as this or that, either in their face or on Facebook or Twitter, you name it, it's never becoming and certainly not in line with our texts for today. Yes, there are legitimate and wholesome ways to express our grievances with our political leaders, especially in our democracy, but never should we participate in a way that does harm or injury to our neighbors. Notice here our main text, Romans 13:10, doesn't say love does some harm to a neighbor when they deserve it and have it coming to them. No, God's Holy Spirit, inspired, infallible, inerrant word reads, owe no one anything but to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, it may be at this time that some of you are saying to yourself, Pastor, are you not being a little unbalanced here in this morning's sermon so far? Do you want us to accept anyone and everyone, whatever they think, say, and do, and no matter what they believe and how they act, etc., etc.? Are you now too falling into this no backbone, placid, unwholesome response to others, and that all we ever need is love? And you won't stand up, and you don't stand up for anything that is right and true anymore. God is love, don't you know? But he is truth and righteousness too, justice and holiness as well. Come on, Pastor, you should know this. And the last thing we need today is more of this love, 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 love talk. Please stop it now, and let's be a faithful preacher now to us, won't you? Well, I assure you, congregation, when you say this too, I understand. However, that doesn't take away the emphasis of our text. I didn't write the text. God did. And indeed, to be faithful and true and helpful in this sermon, we need to think more about our text and think more what it means, our second main point. For Christian love, doing no harm to a neighbor, while something always to know, let us look more specifically now how it is also something always to show. And what is truly showing Christian love always to those around us? And here, very concretely and practically, let me give you some biblical guidelines with showing Christian love to our neighbors always. In fact, I'm going to give you 10 guidelines, but don't fret. I wrote them out for you. I'll give them to you on a paper when you leave, and I hope you'll read them again for yourself afterwards. The first is, congregation, let us always respect our neighbors. Never are we to show disrespect towards other human beings, even if they are most disrespectable. regardless their race, their religion, their past, their gender, their abilities or disabilities, their riches or their poverty, their hair color or their tattoos or their clothing or their age or their political leaning or their views or activities, about anything or everything. We are called to show respect toward those around us. Showing respect to them, ultimately, because all human beings are what? From conception to the last breath, are people created as image bearers of God. Image bearers with special value and unique purpose as God's image bearers, and our doing deliberate harm or ill to our neighbor is an assault against God himself. Always, congregation, it is inexcusable and wicked to harm our neighbor in any way at all. We live in times, tragically, where showing basic human respect for one another from conception to the last breath is increasingly becoming less normal. But in the church and among God's people, we need to be examples of this always, beloved. Showing true, sincere respect for all human beings from womb to tomb. Do others see and hear this from you and me towards all people around us in our homes and churches and communities and countries and world of our day? Are you and I respectful towards our neighbors, all our neighbors? Secondly, with love doing no harm to our neighbor, surely that means to living in humility before those around us, humble. Never, ever, congregation, is there a reason for any one of us to exalt ourselves above those around us. Whenever you and I have an attitude of pride and smugness towards others, when we think others are just scum, but we ourselves are just something else, we are having a misguided view of ourselves and a harmful, hurtful view towards others. Did not the Levite and the priest that walked by that needy man left beaten and bruised and half dead by robbers alongside the road show this repugnant, most unloving, smug, self-only attitude towards that poor man on the side of the road? Jesus tells us it was a Samaritan on whom one whom the Jewish leaders just despised very much. It was a Samaritan who showed example of humble, respectful love and care towards that injured person. Do you and I reflect a genuinely humble, gracious mindset and attitude towards all people around us? I mean, true Christians of all people should know there's only reason, isn't there, for endless humility on our part. Knowing what monsters of evil we are of ourselves by nature before God and our neighbor. Let's be humble. Do you and I know this and show this as well before everyone else? Besides showing respect and humility, what about just basic courtesy? Our third thought, basic courtesy. Did you know a blessed, serious exhortation given Christians in the Bible is 1 Peter 3:8. Be courteous. Be courteous. Literally, again, the word is related to be humble, be tender-hearted, be compassionate, be very considerate, be thoughtful in regards to others. And doesn't this mean, congregation, always to do our best to try to understand where someone else is coming from? Before confrontation, courteous communication is required from us. And isn't this what should mark you and me when truly Christian? To go out of our way, yes, to demonstrate thinking of the other person. Where is he or she coming from? And then thinking respectfully and caringly towards those around us. Is this characteristic of you and me? Are we examples of this in our families and in our peer groups, and at school, and at work, always thoughtful and considerate of our neighbor. When we are courteous, how this will impact how you talk to your parents. And cleaning up after yourself in the home. How we talk to each other as spouses. How it will show and how we relate to family members and church members. Yes, also to our neighbors. Are you and I living in a loving way towards our neighbors? Never wishing them ill, but relating with them respectfully, humbly, and courteously. Isn't this how Jesus related even with the so-called scum of society in his day? And with his simple, slow-to-learn disciples? And with the Jews and Gentiles? And with the leaders in his time? Yes, even with his avowed enemies? What did Jesus sincerely say, congregation, to Judas Iscariot when Judas came to betray him with a kiss? Friend, why have you come? Friend, Jesus said. And we know Jesus was known and even called, wasn't he, in a not complimentary way. Look, he's a friend of publicans and sinners. Matthew 11:19. He was even a friend to little children, which the disciples thought was too much of a bother for him. We know with Jesus, don't we, showing Christian love even to the most down and out in his day and those who were even his avowed enemies, that this never means, this never means Jesus approved of people's wicked beliefs or their false and sinful behavior, or that he never confronted them about their wrongdoing and wicked ways. But always still, congregation, Jesus showed genuine care for them. And instead of showing ill will to anyone, he showed goodwill to all people, always desiring and designing that they might come to know the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Even when relating to his enemies and our enemies, shouldn't this same be your and my mindset as well, when true believers? Here we come to another detail of showing true neighborly love to others as Christians. It means living respectfully towards all others, humbly and courteously, and yes, also truthfully. This is exactly where the true Christian love to our neighbor is distinct. Yes, very distinct from the wishy-washy, spineless, meaningless, unprincipled, unguarded love that the world wants us to show. No, in true love for our neighbors, never are we to be sinfully accommodating or compromisingly approving of what God hates and what is against God's holy standards of true righteousness and love and goodness. We need to speak and stand up and resist evil and evildoers. So, for instance, we are not being truly loving when, for example, just accepting immoral conduct and false religious beliefs. Nor are we truly loving to someone who claims gender dysphoria, and all we show is compassion and approval from us, even when they want what they want is clearly and foolishly against God and against nature, and only always most harmful for himself or herself. To just be nice and approving of such would be the same as us not calling to a little child to watch out for that hot fire pit or that raging river that they are standing very near to and about to fall into. Likewise, you and I are not really loving at all our neighbor when we excuse and allow for same-sex relations or any adulterous relations, which is always an abomination to God and dreadfully damaging to ourselves and to all of society. Or if we don't sternly warn against someone dabbling in alcohol or drugs or in the sinful dangers involved with playing endless video games or clicking on pornographic sites, etc., etc. No, says Paul in Ephesians 4, we are called to be speaking the truth in love. And similarly, a few verses later, he says in verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Here we need to understand, congregation, how the world's view of love is so misguided and so imbalanced. and so evil, really, in the end. The world's view of love is a sinful view. It's just a view of lust, really. And in the end, it becomes intolerant of all that is right and true and lovely indeed. This world and this the worldly and humanistic view of love only acts on basis of feelings and emotions and without any principles. It is guided by human circumstances and situation ethics rather than God's unchanging holy standard of true love as given in His Ten Commandments and as perfectly modeled for us in the person and life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Here, dear congregation, as I said with reading the law, true love before God and our neighbor and living by God's holy commandments coincide perfectly. They're not contradictory. Love and law are not contradictory. They're not antithetical from the Bible's perspective. And the Bible's perspective is the only right perspective. Not only because God says so, but clearly in all history we have evidence of this. The day I was writing this sermon, I saw on the news that the First Lady, Dr. Mrs. Biden, had on the back of her jacket while in Europe with her husband at the World Leaders Conference there, she had on the back of her jacket the word love in big capital letters. And that's what the American president and his wife want to be promoting over against also the former president. That's the image they give, at least. And they want this to be their message about America to the other world leaders and nations of the globe, that they are all about love. Yet her husband and she, as leaders in the Western world, are actually promoting and pushing all kinds of God-hateful laws in total defiance of God and in brazen disobedience to the Ten Commandments and in devastating destruction of human life and marriage and family and country stability and peace. The law the world shows, the love the world shows, congregation, is ungodly love. And it's only in selfish, sinful promotion of self and lust over against God and our neighbor. And you know what? It brings horrific harm to others in countless ways, sooner or later. And saying that now doesn't sound very loving, I admit, but a later point will address that matter. The point we are stressing, congregation, now is that our scripture texts for this service are speaking of Christian love, which is rooted in God and in all His holy law and precious gospel in and through Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners. And this is something very important to understand and is clearly embedded in both our texts in Romans 13 and John 13. Paul says the love he is calling for is the fulfilling of all God's righteous law of true love before God and our neighbor. But our fallen, wicked world wants to show a love that is really apart from God's law and without law and that is just baseless and falling short most miserably. But we now, this is the point of this sermon, we now need to live in our secular, heathen, post-Christian culture as confessing believers and as Christian church, demonstrating and drawing attention to the way of true, godly, Christ-like love in all our relations with others, in everything we think, say, and do, God helping us day by day with all whom we relate. Well, do you see, too, that this is our Christian calling, living in our 21st century world? Loving our neighbor, yes, and doing them no harm, with relating with them respectfully, humbly, courteously, and truthfully. And notice next, also patiently, patiently. When you and I consider God's unending patience with us, another word for patience in the Bible is long-suffering. How long-suffering God is towards us. When we realize something of His patience with us, especially when true Christians, should we not show genuine patience, long-suffering to those around us? Yes, also in seeking to be the Lord's witnesses, loving witnesses of the Christian faith. Let us patiently continue steadfastly in being loving Christian neighbors to those around us in every way we can and consistently, carefully so. And this brings me to another way to be loving to our neighbor always, the sixth way, and that is prayerfully so. Prayerfully so. Was not prayer to God so directed, what so directed Christ himself in all his ministry here on earth, sinners to save? Was not prayer likewise so much a matter of the whole life of and ministry of the apostles when going about seeking to be a blessing for God and good in the pagan and ungodly societies of the world of their day? Everything we do, congregation, every day with everyone, is to be bathed with prayer, that all we think, say, and do may be to God's glory and honor and for the well-being of those around us. Do you and I relate with others, praying God to bless every word and deed in season in his almighty way and will? What reasons to pray, congregation? For God's guidance, don't you think? For wisdom and help, rightly to live before him and before our neighbors, starting in our families, but then in the church, and then at school, and at work, and in our inner society as a whole. Do you and I have a spirit of meekness and prayerful dependency on God in loving your neighbor as yourself? Not only that, God enable you to conduct yourself becomingly and winsomely, but also that God Almighty bless a true Christian love witness from ourselves to others. This will involve also, will it not, living self-sacrificingly before our neighbors, our seventh point. Are you and I willing to sacrifice for the good of others in our families and churches and communities, locally and globally? Again, Jesus sets the ultimate and unique example in giving his life sinners to save. He loves sinners like us to the telos in the Greek, namely to the indescribable, inexpressible nth degree, we are told in John 13, verse 1. And should we not also be willing so to love one another? Yes, even to lay down our lives to help and bless our neighbors if need be. How many true stories there are of believers and unbelievers in time past in situations of great danger, like maybe with a boat capsizing and only a few can fit on an emergency vessel, and it's the Christian who gives up his place for the unbeliever, knowing his own death will mean glory by God's grace through Christ the Savior, and praying it gives the unbeliever still more time to repent of sin and believe the gospel. In how many lesser ways, though, might you and I live more self-sacrificingly with our time and our talents and our resources for the promotion of the gospel in word and deed in our sin-perishing world, which is speedily hastening to the last judgment day? Here, listen to the Apostle Peter say strikingly in 1 Peter 4, verse 7 and 8, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another." Yes, first of all, in the body of God's people, but also towards others. Doing so, will we not also act kindly, our next point, kindly towards one another, in word and deed? Isn't this an obvious, practical detail, congregation, of so much influence and impact very often? The fruit of the Spirit is also kindness. Being kind to others, beloved, often makes room for more inroads in giving a gospel word in season. Demonstration of genuine kindness, even in the smallest of ways. Something like God's loving kindness to us can so disarm the rebellious and melt the hardened under God's blessing. How many ways might we show kindness to our Muslim neighbors, or to the couple living in same-sex relation down the road, or to that youth attracted to the bizarre folly of gender dysphoria, or to that street person, often a nuisance in your area? In what ways are you and I presently demonstrating kindness towards others? First of all, within the household of God, yes, but then also beyond to those around us. Listen here to Paul's exhortation in Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, that is divisive quarrelsomeness and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Well, two more practical pointers or specifics, that is, let us be showing love to others also purposefully. Yes, purposefully neighborly, you might say. By purposefully, I mean with a Christian mission and with a desire, yes, to glorify God in everything and with everyone and to help spread what is good and loving and right and helpful and upbuilding in this fallen world. To help be a gospel light in this dark world of sin and misery and confusion and despair. We are called, are we not, when Christians, to let our gospel light shine. And with showing love, yes, that Christian love which sincerely relates always with our neighbors, respectfully, humbly, courteously, truthfully, patiently, prayerfully, self-sacrificingly, kindly, and purposefully. Surely, congregation, what purpose our lives, yours and mine, gains and gives when living by God's grace and Spirit in such like true love to God and genuine love to our neighbors in line with all God's law. Then too, we live gladly, don't we? Our last specific detail, gladly. Yes, gladly, in the sense of just so thankful to God for giving us this opportunity in our earthly journey, our brief time here, to help leave a gospel witness, a gospel legacy, and a holy example of true Christian love. You know, when true Christians, all of life, congregation, becomes so meaningful. Nothing becomes unmeaningful. And all of life becomes fruitful. And we have reason to rejoice in the Lord and to reflect that and to let the gospel light shine by our love. May all those around us witness we are Christians by our love. You know, I was thinking about these 10 points, and I was thinking, isn't this how our Savior relates with us when we are saved? Don't we know him then as relating with us always? Such undeserving wretches, he relates with us in love, respectfully, humbly, courteously, truthfully, patiently, prayerfully, self-sacrificingly, kindly, purposefully, and gladly. And shouldn't that melt and motivate us to love others and do no harm to our neighbor? Well, will you and I, coming to our last thought, promote this kind of living in love, congregation, before God and our neighbor? We are not true Christians if we talk about love to God but won't show it to our neighbors. Nor are we true Christians when we are about love to our neighbor but have no true love for God and his word. Unless we know and show and promote the way of true Christian love, we too can so easily and suddenly and naturally and even horribly, apart from God's restraining grace, be monsters of evil or just noisy, useless gongs in our day without love. If you are not a true Christian, turn to the Lord today to learn about God's infinite love towards sinners like us in and through Jesus Christ and him crucified, and pray for his love to be known by you and myself and graciously and repeatedly shown by us and promoted by us too. Congregation, what Calgary and Alberta and Canada and North America and all this world needs is people who live according to God's gospel word in the way of true Christian love. That love from God above, which both exhorts and enables and equips to know, show, and promote God's boundless love in and through Christ Jesus in all that we think, say, and do before the Lord and before all our neighbors. Yes, beginning in our homes and in our local congregation and then reaching to those around us and then even out to the whole wide world, to people of every race, culture, age, and status, and religion, and need. Indeed, in conclusion, congregation, do no harm to a neighbor is a Christian exhortation. And as the last two stanzas of the poem in the bulletin rightly puts it, there is but one successful plan by which to win a fellow man. Have you a neighbor, old or new? Just let that man see Christ in you. The church that hopes to win the lost must pay the one unchanging cost. She must compel the world to see in her the Christ of Calvary. You got it? May God bless His word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we live in a world of so much hatred before You and hatred before our neighbor. And we see signs that people put up to stop the hate culture and to show love. But we can't show love of ourselves. The only way to show true love is to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to have His love in us and with us and guiding us by His word and spirit. And so, Lord, we pray that we as Christian church and as confessing believers, that we may shine as those who truly love God and really love our neighbor and do no harm to our neighbor. Oh, Lord, help us to be that example. And may others see Christ in us. And will You use that witness, Lord, to bring others to You while it's still the day of grace. We thank You for Your word, giving us practical Christian teaching and exhortation in a world so needy and so confused. Help us, Lord, to be faithful Christian witnesses. In Jesus' name we pray.